So today is Saturday, 4th of October, 2014.
आज शनिवार है, 4 अक्टूबर 2014.
पंजाबी बाग यात्रा.
पंजाबी बाग यात्रा.
Today is the auspicious appearance day of Madhvacharya.
आज बहुत ही शुभ दिवस है, श्री माधवाचार्य का आविर्भाव दिवस.
So you will have a rare opportunity to learn about Sri Madhvacharya.
आपके पास बहुत अच्छा अवसर है श्रीपाद माधवाचार्य के बारे में जानने के लिए.
श्री माधवाचार्य इज वन ऑफ द मोस्ट इम्पोर्टेंट आचार्यस इन द हिस्ट्री ऑफ गौड़ीय वैष्णविज्म.
श्री माधवाचार्य एक बहुत ही महान आचार्य है गौड़ीय वैष्णव के इतिहास में.
So it's very appropriate that we study about Sri Madhvacharya.
तो बहुत ही
उपयुक्त who he is and what his position is.
तो ये बहुत ही उपयुक्त है कि हम जाने माधवाचार्य कौन है और उनकी क्या स्थिति है.
To give you an idea, a perspective of the important position of Madhvacharya, then we must remember the name of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya.
हम श्री मध्वाचार्य के बारे में आपको कुछ आइडिया हम उनके बारे में बताएंगे जिससे आपको उनकी स्थिति के बारे में ज्ञान हो.
Actually, our line of saints is called the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya.
हमारी परंपरा को ब्रह्म माधव गौड़ीय वैष्णव संप्रदाय कहा जाता है.
So Madhvacharya is very specifically mentioned as Brahmacharya in our line.
तो हम देखते हैं हमारी परंपरा में मध्वाचार्य को एक बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण स्थान है क्योंकि उनका नाम इस परंपरा में आता है.
Although he has his own line, this is succession, which is centered out of Udupi in South India. That was his headquarters, Udupi.
हालांकि उनकी अपनी ही परंपरा है और जो उनके अनुयायी हैं वह उदुपि में रहते हैं.
Somebody take out your copy there. Let's figure out how many years ago he was. We'll get your mobile phone calculator. Let's calculate, unless you can do it in your head. This is 2014. 2014. Take away 1238.
776.
776. So Madhvacharya was in his manifest pastimes on this planet 776 years ago.
जो मध्वाचार्य थे वो आज से 776 वर्ष पूर्व इस धराधाम पर उपस्थित थे.
That's roughly 250 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
तो ये लगभग 250 वर्ष पूर्व चैतन्य महाप्रभु के आविर्भाव से है.
Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored him as Maha predecessor Acharya.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ने बताया है उनके बारे में कि वे बहुत ही महान आचार्य हैं.
Now here's something about his history.
तो हम उनकी इतिहास के बारे में कुछ श्रवण करेंगे.
Madhvacharya had a disciple named Narahari Tirtha.
मध्वाचार्य के एक शिष्य थे जिनका नाम नरहरि तीर्थ था.
And Narahari Tirtha wrote a biography called in the Sri Kurma, called the Sri Kurma.
नरहरि तीर्थ ने एक जीवनी लिखी थी जिनका नाम था श्री कुर्म.
Madhvacharya lived to be 79 years old.
मध्वाचार्य 69 वर्ष की आयु तक जिए.
There are other biographies compiled by his disciples shortly after his departure.
उनके जाने के बाद उनके कई शिष्यों ने उनकी बात की जीवनियां लिखी.
There is a city named Udupi in Karnataka. This is where Madhvacharya appeared.
एक शहर है उदुपी कर्नाटक में यहाँ पर मध्वाचार्य का आविर्भाव हुआ था.
Was born in a family of Brahmanas.
वो ब्राह्मण परिवार में उत्पन्न हुए थे.
So Srila Prabhupada comments in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 9 2008. 2:45.
सीधा तो हम बात से चलने चाहिए अमृत के मध्य लीला के 9.245 श्लोक में लिखते हैं.
And his childhood, Madhvacharya was known as Vasudeva.
बचपन में मध्वाचार्य को वसुदेव कहा जाता था.
And there are some wonderful stories surrounding him.
और उनके बारे में कई सारी कथाएं प्रचलित हैं.
It is said that his father piled up many debts.
ऐसा बताया गया है कि उनके पिता पर कई सारे ऋण थे.
And Madhvacharya converted 10 currencies into gold coins to pay them off.
और मध्वाचार्य ने इमली के बीजों को सोने के सिक्के में बदल दिया उस ऋण को चुकाने के लिए.
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
come on, come on, you double, अरे
वाह, अरे वाह,
you can't do that, come on, you're supposed to show some excitement, अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह.
Try to understand that the Mahapurushas, the top level of Vaishnavacharyas, are full of mystic power. So obviously, Madhvacharya was full of mystic power, obviously. Because you can't do it, and even the ordinary sadhus can't do it. He's a sadhu, he can't do it.
तो यह समझने का प्रयास करिए कि जो महान आचार्य होते हैं उनके पास बहुत ही अलौकिक शक्तियाँ होती हैं. तो ये कोई कार्य एक साधारण व्यक्ति या कोई साधारण साधु भी नहीं कर सकता, किंतु मध्वाचार्य ये करने में सक्षम थे.
So Madhvacharya was given the sacred thread when he was only 5 years old.
जब मध्वाचार्य केवल 5 वर्ष के थे तब उनका जनेऊ संस्कार हुआ.
Now there was a demon named Maniman that lived near Madhvacharya's house.
राक्षस था मणिमन नाम का जो कि उनके घर के पास रहता था.
And this demon was in the form of a snake.
और ये राक्षस था एक सर्प की वेश में था.
At the age of 5, that's just a little kid, you know. I don't know. There's no little kids here right now, but you've seen at this temple, and you know, everybody knows Jai Jai. Shishir Krishnabharam, Shri Radhikaraman, Jagannathswami, Vali, Smadhu Kitai. You know, seeing a 5-year-old kid, you know, they're not very big, and they're not 5-year-old kids are not famous for their strength, you know.
तो उनके लोग 5 वर्ष के थे और हम यहाँ देखते हैं कि जो 5 वर्ष की आयु में तो एक बच्चा होता है और उसके पास इतनी शक्ति भी नहीं होती.
So this snake was a demon.
तो ये जो सर्प था वह एक राक्षस था.
So at the age of 5, Madhvacharya killed that snake with the toe of his left foot.
केवल 5 वर्ष की आयु में मध्वाचार्य ने उस राक्षस का विनाश किया अपने बाएं पैर के.
When his mother was disturbed, he would appear before her in one jump.
जब उनकी माता परेशान होती तो मध्वाचार्य एक छलांग लगाकर उनके पास आ जाते.
He was a great scholar even in childhood.
वह बचपन में ही एक बहुत बड़े विद्वान थे.
And although his father did not agree,
हालांकि उनके पिता की अनुमति नहीं थी,
Madhvacharya accepted sannyas at the age of 12.
फिर भी मध्वाचार्य ने 12 वर्ष की आयु में सन्यास ग्रहण किया.
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे वाह,
अरे
वाह. I think wasn't Madhvacharya, he was incarnation of Bhima.
क्या मध्वाचार्य भीम के अवतार थे?
वायु. Yes. So that explains why you can do all these wonderful things.
मध्वाचार्य थे और वायु के अवतार थे, तो इससे हम समझ सकते हैं कि उन्होंने इस तरह के अलौकिक कार्य किए.
Why he could jump such far distance because he's incarnation of wire.
तभी वह इतनी बड़ी बड़ी छलांग भी लगा सकते थे.
When he was only 12 years old, Madhvacharya left home.
जब वह केवल 12 वर्ष के थे तो उन्होंने गृह त्याग किया.
Just a kid, no way.
सिर्फ एक बच्चा ही थे 12 वर्ष के.
If there are a lot of Indian mothers sitting here, we can imagine how upset they would be if their 12-year-old boy left home when age 12 to go off and become a Hare Krishna.
यहाँ कई सारी भारतीय माताएं हैं, अगर उनके बच्चे घर छोड़कर हरे कृष्ण भक्त बन जाए तो उनको बहुत ही परेशानी होगी.
So as the Sanyasi took his guidance of Achyuta Prakash, his sannyas guru.
जो उनके सन्यास गुरु थे उनका नाम अच्युत प्रेक्ष था.
His sannyas name was Purnaprajna Tirtha.
उनका संन्यास लेने के बाद पूर्ण करने के लिए तैयार हुआ.
So he was a from the very beginning a great scholar.
बहुत ही शुरुआत से एक बहुत बड़े विद्वान हैं.
Unparalleled means up until his time there was no greater scholar than Madhvacharya.
वे एक अद्वितीय विद्वान थे. उनके समान विद्वता किसी में नहीं थी.
And his studies in the Shastra convinced him of the uselessness of the Mayavadi or impersonal interpretation of Vedanta.
उन्होंने शास्त्र के आधार पर स्थापित किया किस प्रकार मायावाद सिद्धांत बिल्कुल ही गलत है.
So he was inspired to revive the original interpretation of Vedanta.
और फिर उन्होंने वेदांत का सही भाष्य दिया.
All of India was under the influence of Shankaracharya, who was teaching this impersonalism. I am God, you are God, we are all Brahma. Even Krishna, Vishnu, they are just manifestations of Brahman. This impersonal philosophy was dominant all over India.
क्योंकि जो पूरा भारत था वह इस मायावाद सिद्धांत शंकराचार्य के प्रभाव से प्रभावित था. यहाँ सिर्फ यही बताया जाता था कि कोई भी भगवान है, मैं भगवान हूँ, आप भगवान है, तो ये सब पूरा कचरा बचा हुआ.
So he was committed as a pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, Mahapurusha. He was committed to, you could say, set the record straight, this to defeat impersonal conception.
उन्होंने जो मायावाद सिद्धांत था उसका पूरी जोर से खंडन किया और विरोध किया.
He did this by what is described as innovative interpretation. That means very creative but accurate interpretation of the Shastra. Unprecedented means presenting an angle that others had not thought about in the Shastra, that they could not seek out because they were not empowered like him when they were not Vaishnavas. Therefore, they could not understand what he could find in the Shastra. They could never find it because they were not devotees of Lord Vishnu.
तो उन्होंने शास्त्र का इस प्रकार से विवेचन किया था जो पूर्व में किसी ने नहीं किया था, क्योंकि वह एम्पावर थे भगवान के द्वारा, तो इस वजह से वह ऐसा कर पाए जो कि कोई और नहीं कर सकता.
So for his interpretation of the Shastra, he became very famous.
तो अपने शास्त्रों की विवेचना के कारण वे बहुत ही प्रसिद्ध हुए.
His philosophy is technically called Dvaita Bhara or pure dualism.
जो उन्होंने सिद्धांत प्रस्तुत किया उसे द्वैत द्वैतवाद कहा जाता है.
Pure dualism means there is God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is Jiva. And they are not Brahman merged like the teachings of Shankar. But there is separation between Jiva and the servitor Jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are two separate entities, and every Jiva is servant of Bhagavan. This is his teaching.
उस सिद्धांत के अनुसार भगवान अलग है और जीवात्मा अलग है. जीवात्मा शास्त्र रूप से भगवान का नित्य दास है.
It is a little different from the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching the famous Achintya Vedanta Tattva.
चैतन्य महाप्रभु की शिक्षाओं से थोड़ा सा भेद है जिन्होंने हमें अचिंत्य चिंता भी का सिद्धांत दिया.
Simultaneously, one and different. So, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we accept the oneness of Bhagavan and Brahman, that's all right, and we accept the Jiva as one in quality.
हम गौड़ीय वैष्णव हम भी एकत्व के सिद्धांत को स्वीकार करते हैं. यह मानते हैं कि हम क्वालिटी में भगवान के समान हैं.
But our Shastra uses the phrase part and parcel. We will never accept that Jiva is equal in quality to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Never.
शास्त्र के अनुसार जो जीव है वह भगवान का अंश है, तो इस तरह से वो उनके समान नहीं है.
So unique to our mind, what it is shown is Achintya Vedanta. Simultaneously, one, we acknowledge the oneness with Bhagavan, that's all right, but we accept and acknowledge one, but also different meaning. There's individuality of the soul never merges with Bhagavan, never.
जो हमारा सिद्धांत है गौड़ीय वैष्णव का अचिंत्य वेदा में तत्व, इसमें एक तत्व भी है क्वालिटी के वाइज, और वैसे भिन्नता है क्योंकि जीव है और कोई भगवान के बराबर नहीं हो सकता.
So a lot of Acharya's personal theism, in other words, that God is a person, because he was devotee certainly of Lord Vishnu and he knew about Radha Krishna also.
तो मध्वाचार्य ने आस्तिकवाद का सिद्धांत दिया जिसके हिसाब से भगवान एक व्यक्ति है.
Or his knowledge of Vedanta grew to the point where he could defeat Achyuta Prakash, his own guru, because his guru was of the Mayavadi school. So he was able to defeat even his own guru in argument.
मध्वाचार्य शास्त्रों के इतने पारंगत हो गए कि उन्होंने अपने गुरु अच्युत प्रेक्ष जो कि मायावादी थे उनको भी परास्त कर दिया.
So recognizing that Parapraja, the original name Madhvacharya at that time was called Parapraja, realizing that his student or disciple was a superior scholar to himself, Achyuta Preksha made him the head of his ashram. So he promoted him to be head of his ashram. This is highly unusual.
इस घटना के बाद अच्युत प्रेक्ष ने मध्वाचार्य जो कि उस समय अपने संन्यास नाम पूर्ण करके से जाने जाते थे उनको आश्रम का हेड बना दिया, मुख्य प्रमुख बना दिया.
He also awarded him the title Ananda Tirtha.
और उनको उपाधि दी आनंद तीर्थ नाम की.
So after he became the temple authority,
तो मंदिर के अध्यक्ष बनने के बाद
he began training disciples.
उन्होंने शिष्य अपनाना स्वीकार किया.
In the Vaishnava conception.
वैष्णव सिद्धांत के अनुसार.
And he was giving them pure Vaishnava, defeating many scholars from different schools of philosophy.
तो वे अपने शिष्य को उनका वैष्णव शिक्षाएं प्रदान करते थे और दूसरे जो मायावादी सन्यासी थे उनको.
And he was undefeatable. He was defeating Buddhists, Jains, and all the impersonalists, agnostics, logicians.
उन्होंने जैन बुद्ध मायावादी इन सभी को परास्त किया, न्याय न्यायिकों को सभी को हराया.
Those practicing materialistic religions also rubbish, you know, that was Hindu hodgepodge, materialistic religion, you know, defeating all of them, I see.
तो जो कैटा धर्म का पालन करते थे उनको भी मध्वाचार्य ने परास्त किया.
So his success in defeating all these scholars inspired him to go on a tour of South India. Arriva!
तो जब वे दक्षिण भारत की यात्रा में निकले थे तो उन्होंने सभी विद्वानों को हराया.
And his mission, of course, was to preach personal theism with Lord Vishnu or Lakshmi Narayan or even Radha Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God.
जो उनका मिशन था यही है था भगवान लक्ष्मी नारायण या राधा कृष्ण की महिमा को स्थापित करना.
So this time he was preaching this personalism of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the jiva is devoted, eternal part of parcel, but he hadn't written anything about this yet.
हालांकि वह ये प्रचार कर रहे थे कि भगवान पुरुष हैं और जीव उनका नित्य दास है, किंतु इस समय तक उन्होंने कुछ ऐसा लिखा नहीं था.
So he went all over South India on his tour.
वे दक्षिण भारत की यात्रा पर अकेले ही गए.
The southernmost tip of India, Kanyakumari.
जो भारत का जो सबसे दक्षिणी भाग है कन्याकुमारी.
From there to Rameswaram.
वहां से वे रामेश्वर गए, रामेश्वरम.
श्रीरंगम.
वहां से श्रीरंगम.
And many other places of pilgrimage.
और फिर कई सारे अलग-अलग तीन स्थानों पर.
And wherever he went, he debated the prominent scholars of the impersonal school. Remember that the impersonalists were all pervading in India at that time. So wherever he went, he debated the impersonal philosophers and smashed them.
वे जहाँ कहीं भी गए, उन्होंने वहाँ मायावादियों के साथ शास्त्रार्थ किया और उन्हें पराजित किया.
His biting criticism of Shankaracharya's impersonal philosophy met with stiff opposition because he was dismantling the whole school of Shankara, you know, who was the whole show in those days. Shankaracharya Because I mean, we can't imagine though that just like we can't imagine somebody trying to bring down Prabhupada, you know, but it's of course it would not be possible. But the point is that Shankaracharya was there, everything, and he's bringing him down. He's dragging him down and defeating Shankaracharya. So they're getting very upset about this.
Shankaracharya came to Mayavadi place, of course, they. और मध्वाचार्य क्योंकि इतना उनका इतना जोरदार खंडन कर रहे थे तो इससे बहुत ही उग्र मच गया था.
So neither no one, but still they couldn't do anything about it because they could not, they could neither defeat him with scripture or logic, because sometimes scholars also hold the base based on logic. Vaishnavism is logical, so therefore a skilled Vaishnav can win a debate based on logic, not even based on scripture. Try to understand that Krishna consciousness is actually logical. See, this is very important to understand this point. It's not just words and flowers in the sky, you know. No, it's actually logical.
जो मायावादी थे वे कुछ भी नहीं कर सकते थे क्योंकि वे ना तो शास्त्र के आधार पर और ना ही न्याय के आधार पर उन्हें हरा सकते थे. तो एक न्याय ही एक माध्यम है शास्त्र का. तो जैसे हम देखते हैं वैष्णविज्म में भी कई सारे ऐसे सिद्धांत आते हैं जिसको हम लॉजिकल कहते हैं.
So at one point a great impersonal scholar of the Shankara school challenged Bhattacharya to write his own commentary on Vedanta if he disagreed with the teaching of the master, which meant Shankara.
तो एक बार एक मायावादी ने उनको चैलेंज किया कि आप एक वेदांत ऐसा भाष्य लिखे जो कि शंकराचार्य के भाष्य को भी हरास कर सके.
So at that time, Bhattacharya accepted the challenge and he agreed to write his own commentary on Vedanta.
तो मध्वाचार्य ने उस चुनौती को स्वीकार किया और वह भाष्य लिखने के लिए तैयार हुए.
Now this is interesting because Bhattacharya is after Ramanujacharya.
तो ये बहुत ही इंटरेस्टिंग है क्योंकि जो मध्वाचार्य थे वो रामानुजाचार्य के बाद आए थे.
But Madhvacharya was not fully satisfied with the arguments of Ramanujacharya.
लेकिन जो मध्वाचार्य थे वे रामानुजाचार्य के भाष्य से पूर्ण ना.
Of course, Ramanujacharya was a pure Vaishnava, preaching the glories of Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi Narayan.
हालांकि रामानुजाचार्य एक शुद्ध वैष्णव थे किंतु फिर भी उनके शिक्षाओं से मध्वाचार्य पूर्णतः संतुष्ट नहीं थे.
But Bhattacharya felt that the great personality of Ramanujacharya, the great Acharya, but he felt that Ramanujacharya hadn't hit hard enough in defeating Shankara. This is interesting. This is all lila actually, because they're both, super personalities, super Acharyas. Yet Madhvacharya was feeling that Ramanujacharya didn't hit hard enough to really, didn't smash hard enough. So he wanted to smash harder than even Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya was very empowered, of course.
Madhvacharya ko aisa laga ki Ramanujacharya ne Mayavad Siddhant ko parast karne ke liye itna bahut adhik prayas nahi kiya jo ki woh karna chahte the.
Ramanujacharya's philosophy technically is called Vishishta Dvaita Vada. I don't expect you to remember that, but I'm just for the record, that's the formal name of Ramanujacharya's philosophy, which is pure Vaishnavism, also Jiva is the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. So they both agree on that point, but Madhvacharya wanted to strike harder.
जो रामानुजाचार्य ने सिद्धांत प्रस्तुत किया था उसका नाम था विशिष्ट अद्वैतवाद. हालांकि वह पूर्ण शुद्ध वैष्णव सिद्धांत किया किंतु मध्वाचार्य मायावाद के अधिक खंडन चाहते थे इसलिए वह उतने संतुष्ट नहीं थे.
So this increased Madhvacharya's conviction that he needed to write his own commentaries on the Veda to go beyond Ramanujacharya, which is pretty amazing that he felt he had to put more powerful arguments than even Ramanujacharya.
तो मध्वाचार्य को ऐसा लगा कि वो एक ऐसा भाष्य लिखेंगे जिसमें मायावाद का बहुत ही जोरदार खंडन हो जो कि रामानुजाचार्य ने अपने भाष्य में किया था.
So after touring South India, he decided to tour North India as well.
दक्षिण भारत की यात्रा करने के बाद मध्वाचार्य को लगा कि वह उत्तर भारत जाएं।
Try to understand that our greatest acharyas like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just following in the footsteps of the prior acharyas like Madhavacharya. Ramanujacharya also traveled, you know, and defeated. So there were many acharyas that were pounding on Mayavadi philosophy and driving it back.
यह समझने का प्रयास कीजिए जो हमारे आचार्य हैं जैसे भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती वे पूर्ववर्ती आचार्यों के पश्चिमी वही चले जिस प्रकार मध्वाचार्य रामानुजाचार्य उन्होंने सभी अब सिद्धांत का खंडन किया उसी प्रकार हमारे आचार्यों ने भी वैसा किया।
Madhavacharya's determination to write his own commentaries was getting stronger every day.
जो मध्वाचार्य का संकल्प था एक ऐसा भाष्य लिखने का जिसे मायावादी खंडन हो वह दिन ब दिन बढ़ता चला गया।
But as a sincere Vaishnav, he wanted to take the blessings from Srila Vyasadeva, who was the author of all of the Vedanta. He wanted to directly take the blessings from Srila Vyasadeva. So this is the Vaishnav conception, that just like Krishna Shravana as Goswami, before writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's taking blessings from all the Vaishnavas and from all the devis like that. This is the proper etiquette.
तो यह भाष्य लिखने से पूर्व मध्वाचार्य श्री व्यास देव से आशीर्वाद लेना चाहते थे तो यह वैष्णव गुण है। कोई भी वैष्णव जैसे कुछ लिखता है तो वह पहले गुरु से और भगवान के विग्रह से आशीर्वाद लेता है। जिस प्रकार विश्वनाथ कविराज गोस्वामी ने चैतन्य चरितामृत लिखने से पूर्व अनेक वैष्णवों से आशीर्वाद ग्रहण किया।
Now I just completed my own tour of South India and I mean even by train, you know, to go from Delhi to Bangalore is like about 36 hours by train, you know. But you can imagine that Madhavacharya was walking by foot all the way from South India, that means thousands of kilometers, all the way up to the Himalayas, because he knew that Srila Vyasadeva lived in the Himalayas. So he was going up there in order to have darshan with them.
मैंने अभी दक्षिण यात्रा दक्षिण भारत की यात्रा संपन्न की है। मैं जानता हूँ कि दिल्ली से बैंगलोर ट्रेन से जाने में भी 36 घंटे लगते हैं किंतु मध्वाचार्य वहाँ से उड़ुपी से हिमालय तक जाने चाहते थे सिर्फ व्यास देव से आशीर्वाद ग्रहण करने के लिए वो भी पैदल।
श्री व्यास देव इज डिस्क्राइब्ड एज बीइंग इमॉर्टल।
श्री व्यास देव को अमृत कहा गया है।
Madhavacharya knew that Srila Vyasadeva was still alive and that he was still living up in the Madhyakashram in the Himalayas, although he was never visible to any ordinary human beings.
So Madhvacharya knew that Srila Vyasadeva was still alive in the Madhyakashram in the Himalayas, although he was never visible to any ordinary human beings.
Finally, he reached the main temple of Badrinath, and he remained there for 7 weeks, absorbed in fasting, prayer, and devotional meditation.
So, अंत में मध्वाचार्य बद्रीनाथ के मंदिर पहुँचे, वहाँ वे 7 सप्ताह तक रुके और उन्होंने व्रत जप आदि किया।
Then he walked further up into the Himalayas to Badrikashram and upper Badri. Of course, Srila Vyasadeva has his hermitage. There's no way that Srila Vyasadeva's cave would be so close that tourists could walk up there. Forget it.
यदि आज आप बद्रीकाश्रम जाएं, आपको जो गाइड है वो ले जाएगा और वो कुटिया दिखाएगा और बताएगा कि यह व्यासदेव की कुटिया भी है। किंतु ये बिल्कुल ही झूठ है, सरासर झूठ है, क्योंकि जो व्यासदेव की कुटिया है वो सारे व्यक्ति नहीं देख सकते।
Srila Vyasadeva's actual hermitage or cave is located somewhere in China, which of course is unknown by the Communist government. The Vaishnavas are Vaishnavacharya infiltrated China a long time ago, but because he's super paranormal, so the communists don't know anything about him, you know. But he's there, he's living basically in China, you know, way up high, because the border is right there near Balagashra, and you're going up there, it's high security, you know, along the road, because it's near the border of China. And then you go past the border, up, you go hiking up the trail, and it's past the border of China, and you're in China, you see.
जो व्यास्ते की कुटिया है वह वास्तव में चीन में है तो वैसे भी यदि आप जाना चाहें तो फिर ही जा सकते हैं क्योंकि आपको गाड़ी में पास करना पड़ेगा और वहाँ बहुत ही सिक्योरिटी है
So because of his spiritual purity, he was able actually to meet with Shri Vyasadeva up there in Balagashram. And he explained his commentary on Bhagavad Gita to Shri Vyas himself. And Shri Vyasadeva approved his commentary.
अपनी शुद्धता के कारण मध्वाचार्य व्यासदेव तक सीमित समय और उन्होंने उनके सामने अपना भाषण प्रस्तुत किया जिसे जिसे सुनने के बाद व्यासदेव ने अपने भाषण वचन कहे
Shri Vyasadeva gave him a Shalagram Shila, which is known as Astamurti. Pretty nice, huh? Receive a Shalagram Shila from Shri Vyasadeva is not bad.
और व्यासदेव ने उन्हें शालिग्राम शिला भी प्रदान की जिसका नाम अष्टमूर्ति था
After discussing the Shastra with Vyasadeva, Srimad Madhavacharya's understanding of their inner meaning became even more profound. So he remained in Balagashram until he completed his commentary on Bhagavad Gita.
तो वे बद्रिकाश्रम में तब तक रहे जब तक उन्होंने अपना टीका भगवद गीता पर पूर्ण नहीं किया
So then after that he returned to the ashram at Ananta Math.
उसके बाद में अपने आश्रम अनंत मठ में लौट आए.
At that time, Madhava's companion Satyajitha wrote down the entire commentary.
उसके पश्चात मध्वाचार्य के साथी सत्यजीत ने वह पूरी टीका लिखी.
And at that time, Madhavacharya also wrote his complete commentaries on Vedanta.
फिर माधवाचार्य ने भी वेदांत पर संपूर्ण भाष्य लिखा
So on his way back from the Himalayas and Bajnav, Madhavacharya, he also met many scholars along the way and defeated all of them. Pijar! Arriba!
Arriba! तो बद्रिकाश्रम से लौटते समय मध्वाचार्य के लिए कई विद्वानों से हुई जिनको उन्होंने परास्त किया
Considering he was traveling on foot, because that's the only way all the sages traveled in the old days. You know, there was no, they didn't even try to go by. There's no description anywhere that any of the acharyas went by horse, which would have been a lot faster. No description, they didn't do it, period. Neither did they go by ox cart, which would have been, you know, less strenuous. There's not any, even one description that they traveled with those conveyances. Besides up in the Himalayas, the trail was so narrow there's no way an ox cart could have gone out there anyways. Still to this day, the trail is very, very narrow before they made a road, you know.
तो जो मध्वाचार्य थे उन्होंने सारी यात्रा पैदल ही की थी ऐसा कोई युगा नहीं आता कि कोई आचार्य किसी गाड़ी पे या बैलगाड़ी पे और किसी और के माध्यम से गया हो और वैसे भी हिमालय पे जाना तो बैलगाड़ी से संभव भी नहीं है
So we can't even, in our wildest dream, we can't imagine such extensive travel because he went through Bihar, Bengal, Orissa, and Andhra Pradesh, which I suppose is the same as Andhra Pradesh. So he went through all these different areas by foot. It's astonishing, you know.
हम कल्पना कर सकते हैं कि उन्होंने कितना पैदल यात्रा की हिमालय बंगाल उड़ीसा और फिर आंध्र प्रदेश तो इतने स्थान में पैदल ही रहे
And he came to Ganjama and a village on the banks of the river Godavari. He met two prominent scholars there who were well versed in all the important scriptures.
जब वह कंचना जो कि गोदावरी के तट पर है वहां पहुंचे तो उनकी भेंट दो विद्वानों से हुई
He converted them to become pure Vaishnavas. And they became prominent disciples that also began to preach.
और फिर वे लोकाचार्य के प्रमुख शिष्य बने जिन्होंने खूब प्रचार किया।
हरे वाह हरे वाह
हरे वाह
हरे वाह
हरे वाह
हरे वाह हरे वाह हरे वाह हरे वाह हरे वाह हरे वाह हरे वाह हरे So he was really a preaching machine, you see. So if we look at our own product, we see how exactly he's following the footsteps of the Acharyas, building a preaching machine, you know, making disciples, empowering the preach. This is our Gaudiya tradition, you see. And this is before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, way before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our Gaudiya Vaishnava preaching tradition goes way back before, generally we speak of as if it began with Mahaprabhu, but it doesn't. We see here, Madhavacharya was preaching, making disciples, and empowering them, and they're going out and making devotees all over the place and smashing Mayavadi philosophy. So this is our one, this is our tradition.
हालांकि हम समझते हैं कि चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने ही अपनी शिक्षाओं को प्रचार में जोड़ दिया है कि तुम अपने वैष्णव के जीवन में भी देख सकते हैं जैसे मध्वाचार्य के कि किस प्रकार उन्होंने यहाँ प्रचंड प्रचार किया।
It's important to understand why Madhvacharya is included in our life as a succession.
यह समझना बहुत ही आवश्यक है कि किस प्रकार मध्वाचार्य हमारे गुरु शिष्य परंपरा में स्थित है।
Because Madhvacharya was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, by going there and surrendering at his lotus feet and taking instruction from him. Therefore, Madhvacharya was a full-on disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, and Srila Vyasadeva is in our mind and is at the succession. That's the connection, see? Has to understand this point. How, otherwise, he has his own sampradaya in Udupi in South India. He has his own sampradaya. And sometimes the Udupi followers of some, many of them don't accept ISKCON's connection with Madhvacharya. Many of them, with the Gaudiya Vaishnava connection, many of them don't accept.
हालांकि मध्वाचार्य की अपनी भी परंपरा है किंतु चूंकि उन्होंने व्यासदेव से दीक्षा ग्रहण की व्यासदेव के शिष्य थे तो हम देख सकते हैं कि किस प्रकार वो गौरी वैष्णव परंपरा में आते हैं तो ये उनका कनेक्शन है।
And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also there's a detailed description of a philosophical debate between the followers of Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So this might appear to be contradictory, but we see there were some differences, you know, and of course Mahaprabhu defeated whatever defects there were in the followers of Madhvacharya. So it is complicated. But we have to understand the connection is to Srila Vyasadeva. This is the most important point because we are in the line of Vyas.
Chaitanya Charitamrita में ये विवरण आता है कि किस प्रकार चैतन्य महाप्रभु के अनुयायियों ने मध्वाचार्य के अनुयायियों को परास्त किया। तो हालांकि कुछ मतभेद हैं किंतु ये
So these two saints, disciples, they became famous as Padmanabha Tirtha and Narahari Tirtha. And they are considered the principal acharyas out of Madhava school, Ashram Madhava himself.
And
Narahari Tirtha is famous for his commentaries on Madhava's Gita Bhashya. So he commented on Madhavacharya's comments on Gita also. He was a prime minister of Kalingapi for between 1271 and 1293, so about 20 years.
So 1271 and 1293 के बीच लगभग 20 वर्ष तक वे प्रधानमंत्री भी रहे।
Padmanabha Tirtha wrote many commentaries on many of Madhvacharya's works.
पद्मनाभ तीर्थ ने मध्वाचार्य के कई ग्रंथों पर अनेक टीकाएं लिखी।
He was the first commentator on many of the major works of Madhvacharya.
So
that's not up to us. Someone might think, how could he comment on the great Madhvacharya who is perfect and infallible? How could a disciple comment? How could a disciple dare to comment on his writings, you see? what we find here, that Padma Bhagavata was fully authorized to write commentaries on Madhava's works. This point of etiquette we have to understand.
समझने का प्रयास कीजिए कि यह अपराध नहीं है. कोई तर्क कर सकता है कि जब गुरु ने किसी चीज पर टीका लिखी है तो फिर शिष्य उस पर कैसे टीका लिख सकता है. किंतु हम देखते हैं मध्वाचार्य के जीवन में कि किस प्रकार उनके शिष्य पद्मनाभ जी ने उनकी अनेक भाषाओं पर टीकाएं लिखी. इस प्रकार श्री गुरुमा ने भी अपने शिष्य को कहा कि आप अपना साक्षात्कार लिखें.
Of course, that does not mean rewriting his books. That's not what that means. Not at all. Not even close.
It
means that we see now all over the world how many devotees are writing cyber newsletters and writing books, and now the ISKCON market and is full of books written by devotees that are expanding on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. There's nothing lacking in Prabhupada's teachings. Well, he did give permission, he did give the order to write on realization, so there's so many other more commentaries on Prabhupada's teachings. That's all right. That's not envy, as long as it is just elaborating and helping the devotees to understand Prabhupada's teachings, then it's bona fide, try to understand.
हम श्रीला प्रभुपाद की पुस्तकों को अलग अलग माध्यम से प्रस्तुत कर सकते हैं. जिस प्रकार हम देखते हैं कि इस कौन जगत में इतने सारे शिष्यों ने प्रभुपाद के अलग अलग पुस्तकें लिखी हैं, तब ये सब प्रभुपाद की शिक्षाओं के अनुकूल ही हैं.
So we also went to Andhra Pradesh, Maharashtra and Karnataka. This is a massive tour, you know. I can really appreciate it because I just went on a tour of South India. And you know, many train rides, eight-hour train ride is a huge area. You know, South India is a massive area. 8.5-hour train ride, one of my journeys. You know, so we can appreciate that he's walking on foot all over Andhra Pradesh, Maharashtra, and Karnataka. That's a massive area.
फिर भी मैं महाराष्ट्र, कर्नाटक और आंध्र प्रदेश की यात्रा कर रहे हैं तो हम समझ सकते हैं कि ये कितनी विशाल यात्रा थी. दक्षिण भारत बहुत ही विशाल क्षेत्र है. एक स्थान से दूसरे स्थान जाने में भी लगभग 8 घंटे ट्रेन से लग जाते हैं. इस प्रकार महाराज अभी दक्षिण भारत की ट्रिप पर गए थे तो वह समझ सकते हैं कि यात्रा कितनी दुर्गम रही होगी.
Udipi and Udupi. Generally it's said Udupi. When he returned from North India, he converted Bhattacharya, confronted Achyuta Pariksha, his sannyas guru. He confronted him because Achyuta Pariksha had refused to accept Bhattacharya's conceptions previously. And now the roles were reversed because the guru became disciple and disciple became guru. This is why they are unusual.
उनकी पंक्ति पर मध्वाचार्य ने अपने सन्यास को अच्युत प्रेक्ष के साथ साक्षात किया क्योंकि वे अच्युत प्रेक्ष थे. वे मध्वाचार्य के सिद्धांत को स्वीकार नहीं कर रहे थे. उन्हें लग रहा था कि उनका शिष्य गुरु बन रहा है.
So Madhvacharya was so powerful, such a great scholar. He converted Achyuta Pariksha from Shankara Vedanta to the cause of Vaishnavism, and Madhvacharya accepted his prior guru as his own follower.
Madhvacharya इतने पारंगत विद्वान थे कि उन्होंने अपने गुरु अच्युत प्रेक्ष को हराया और उन्हें वैष्णव बनाकर उनके ही गुरु बन गए.
So he was becoming more and more famous because of his commentaries on Vedanta and Bhagavad Gita.
तो दिन पर दिन उनकी ख्याति बढ़ती जा रही थी उनकी नीकाओं के कारण.
And new converts began to join his camp from all over India.
कई सारे नए लोग उनकी दल में मिलते जा रहे थे.
They were attracted by his charismatic personality, you know, charismatic, extraordinary charm and shakti, you know.
तो वे मध्वाचार्य की पर्सनैलिटी से बहुत ही अधिक प्रभावित थे.
And so they became very strong on their faith.
तो उनका विश्वास थोड़ा फिर हो गया.
So Bhattacharya used to bathe daily in the ocean at Udipi.
मध्वाचार्य रोज समुद्र में स्नान करते थे मुरुदी में
He was on the beach coming meditating on Lord Shri Krishna.
मैं समुद्र के तट पर भगवान कृष्ण का चिंतन करते थे
At that time he spotted a ship that was bound for Dwarka that was about to crash on a sand or not crash exactly but the word is founder and it means get stuck on a sandbar and sandbar means a mountain of underwater mountain of sand so the boat was coming and was getting about to get stuck on this underwater mountain of sand that would have been a big problem for the boat
एक बार एक समुद्री जहाज समुद्र में जो मिट्टी के रेत के बाहर उठे हैं उसमें फंस गया
So they gave signals to the captain of the ship and the boat was able to safely approach the shore.
तो कैप्टन को इसकी सूचना देनी गई और किसी प्रकार जो नाव थी वो तट पर पहुंची.
Now this is very important part of the story. The captain of ship wanted to bestow some present to Madhvacharya for rescuing his ship.
तो जो शिव के जो कप्तान थे वो मध्वाचार्य बहुत ही उनकी कृपा मान रहे थे क्योंकि उन्होंने उस समुद्री जहाज की रक्षा की थी
So he gave Shri Madhvacharya a very large chunk of Gopichandan tila.
तो उन्होंने कप्तान ने मध्वाचार्य को बहुत सारा गोपीचंदन तिलक दिया
So as the captain presented the chunk of Gopichandan to Madhvacharya, the large chunk of tilak broke in half, revealing a huge deed of Krishna. Ariva!
तो जब जो कप्तान थे उस जहाज के जब मध्वाचार्य को मैं गोपीचंदन दे रहे थे तो जो तिलक का जो सन था वो टूट गया और उसमें से भगवान कृष्ण के लिए प्रस्तुत हुए
Everyone was astonished to see this beautiful deity of Krishna inside of the chunk of tilak.
हर कोई आश्चर्यचकित था कि किस प्रकार भगवान के विग्रह इस तिलक में से उत्पन्न हुए।
But the next statement is very significant. It says, but Madhvacharya was not unaccustomed to miracles. In other words, you know, so many miracles had already happened in his life that another miracle did not, you know, surprise him. This is insignificant. Because the life of such Mahapurushas, then, you know, miracles are part of the way of life, you know, because of their purity.
क्योंकि मध्वाचार्य के जीवन में वैसे भी इतने चमत्कार हो रहे थे तो इस चमत्कार से वो इतने आश्चर्यचकित नहीं हुए
So after that, he composed a beautiful prayer to Shri Krishna and installed the deity at Udupi. Now it's called Udupi. Udupi. Here it's spelled Udipi, but it's Udupi. Where the deity is still there today in Udupi.
फिर मध्वाचार्य ने उन्हें आश्रय के लिए पूजा की और उन्हें भूमि में स्थापित किया
The deity was so heavy that 30 men had difficulty moving it. 30 men, think about it. And that doesn't mean, you know, 30 skinny men. 30 big guys, you know. Big buff men, 30 such men, not skinny guys, you know, they couldn't move it. 30 men, think about it, 30 men couldn't move the city, that's huge, you know.
वे निग्रह में भारी थे उनकी 30 पहलवान भी उसको उठाने में समर्थ नहीं थे उन्हें भी कठिनाई होती थी उस निग्रह को उठाने में
Of course, even a large size Radhakrishna marble deities that are the average size deity is what? 2 meters tall, 2.5 meters sometimes. The average ISKCON marble deity about 2.5 meters tall, yes? Huh?
Yes,
sir.
Yes. देखते हैं कि इस मंदिर में जो विग्रह होते हैं वो लगभग 2.5 मीटर लंबाई के होते हैं।
Why helped? I carried at the installation in Chicago, Illinois, Central United States. I carried the Radhakrishna deities, their name is Kishore Kishori. I carried them to the altar, you know. There were either 4 or 6 men maybe as many as six men carrying that marble deity that was for 2 days an indented mark in my arm. I'm serious. That's a true story. For 2 days there was an indented mark in my arm from the weight of the deity. Actually, it was too much for even, I think, either four or six men, too much. And here we see the deity was so heavy that 30 men could not carry him.
जब शिकागो मंदिर में किशोर किशोर हिंदुओं का स्थापना हो गई थी तो महाराज उपस्थित थे और उन्होंने राधा कृष्ण मंदिर को उपहार करा और इतने भारी थे कि
कुछ because of being incarnation of Vaya, and he managed to personally carry the deity to Udupi.
क्योंकि मध्वाचार्य वायु के अवतार थे तो इतने शक्तिशाली थे कि वे अकेले ही विग्रह को उठा सकते थे.
So after installing the deity, he established strict Vaidya Bhakti method of worshipping of the deity, very strict.
विग्रह की स्थापना करने के पश्चात मध्वाचार्य ने
And he imposed on his followers a Kadasi fasting, which apparently they weren't doing before Madhvacharya. Then he left for a second pilgrimage in North India, where he again went to Bali Ashram.
फिर वह दक्षिण भारत से निकलकर बद्री आश्रम पहुंचे.
He knew many languages also. Madhvacharya knew Turkish and Persian. Amazing, you know.
Madhvacharya कई सारी भाषाएं जानते थे. वे तुर्की और पर्शियन भाषाएं भी जानते थे.
And he used this overcoming great obstacles in his preaching.
तो उन्होंने अनेक भाषाओं में भी प्रचार किया.
So Madhvacharya arrived in a place in Government Pradesh where political tensions between Hindus and Muslims prevented them from crossing the river. This, in those days, was quite common, this kind of stuff.
Madhvacharya sthan Ganga Pradesh par pahunche jahan par Hindu Muslim bhi badle jaate the aur is karan wo nadi paar nahi kar sakte the.
The Hindus were on one side of the river and the Muslims were on the other side. No one had dared to cross and no boat was available.
हिंदू थे वे नदी एक तट पर थे और मुस्लिम दूसरे तट पर थे और किसी में ये हिम्मत नहीं थी कि वह नदी को पार कर सके और ना ही कोई नाव उपलब्ध थी.
So Madhvacharya and his men, without any regard for the Muslim soldiers that were on the other side of the river, they swam across the river. It was a large river. They swam across the river, no problem. So they just followed their Acharya. They were fearless, following their chariot, taking shelter in Madhvacharya. They weren't worried. They knew they could defeat all the soldiers personally. So they just swam across the river, following Madhvacharya.
Madhvacharya nadi mein kude aur apne shishya ke unke piche kude aur unhe tayar kare ve nadi paar kar li.
So their entire camp was placed under arrest.
Unka jo pura dal tha wo bandi bana liya gaya.
And Madhvacharya was taken before the Muslim king.
मध्वाचार्य को मंदी बनाकर मुस्लिम राजा के सामने
king or sultan demanded an explanation.
फिर राजा ने उनसे explanation मांगी.
And Madhava was finally allowed to speak on his own behalf. He spoke in Persian, addressing the king at length on devotional theism. You can imagine, this is impressive. He's talking to a Muslim speaking in Persian. I mean, in those days, a Vaishnava or Hindu talking Persian, and also Rupa Sanatan Goswami, he also knew, you know. So this is very impressive, you know. The king is very impressive. And he could also see the purity of Madhvacharya, that he was a saint.
मध्वाचार्य मुस्लिम राजा को पर्शियन भाषा में प्रचार करना शुरू किया और वह राजा इससे बहुत ही प्रभावित हुआ क्योंकि उस समय हिंदू के द्वारा यह अपेक्षित नहीं था कि वह पर्शियन भाषा भी बोल सकता है.
So he was so impressed with Madhvacharya that he wanted to offer him land and money, but Madhva set the example of renunciation by humbly declining the sultan's offer.
तो वह राजा मध्वाचार्य से इतना प्रभावित हुए कि वे मध्वाचार्य को जमीन और ढंढना चाह रहे थे, लेकिन जो कि मध्वाचार्य वैरागी थे
उन्होंने
यदि अगर वह राजा हमें ध्यान दे दे तो हम उन्हें जरूर स्वीकार करते और एक नया मंदिर निर्माण करते.
And as humor would not help, sometimes Madhava or intelligence sometimes would use the superhuman strength to save a situation. Once his disciple and traveling companion at Santajuka was attacked by a fierce Bengal tiger. A Bengal tiger.
Yeah, so everybody can talk. No. They can leave.
Whoever wants to leave can leave. They can go leave and talk every job. That's all right. They can go. Prasanna is not even being served yet. You want to go talk to Java? Go. You want to go talk nonsense? Go.
जो भी कक्षा से जाना चाहते हैं और जो भी मालूम प्रचार करना चाहते हैं वे भी जा सकते
हैं.
यदि आप मध्वाचार्य के बारे में सुनना चाहते हैं तो यहीं पर होती है.
So
तो मध्वाचार्य ने उस चींटी के साथ युद्ध किया.
And he sent it away with its tail between its legs. You know, when a cat is defeated, it goes with the tail between the legs.
तो उन्होंने उसे अपने टांगों के बीच में बसा दिया.
Another time, while walking on pilgrimage through dangerous part of India, he was attacked by Madhava's murderous backlights and he easily held them all off.
एक बार जब मध्वाचार्य यात्रा कर रहे थे तो कुछ डकैतों ने उनका हथला दिया.
It took part in many athletic activities. This is interesting. It took part in many athletic activities.
उन्होंने कई सारी एथलेटिक कार्य भी करते दिखाए.
Such as wrestling, swimming, and mountain climbing. Very interesting.
मध्वाचार्य मल्लयुद्ध करना, स्विमिंग करना, तैरना और बाहर चलना भी जानते थे.
If I had stopped, you would never know this.
अगर मैं चुप हो जाता और नहीं बताता तो आप ये नहीं जान पाते.
So because he was already sporting at these things, then for him climbing the Himalayas was very easy.
तो मध्वाचार्य के लिए हिमालय पर चढ़ना बहुत ही सरल था.
Came a Brahmin family, but they were descended from warrior Brahmin as an incarnation of Godhead Parashuram. So he's a descendant of Parashuram, amazing. So he was very tall, very strong, and very healthy.
It is said
there was no limit
to his bodily strength.
There was the biography records, there was a strong man named Kadambjari who said to have the strength of 30 men. Once challenged Madhvacharya to a contest of strength.
So एक बार करमचारी नाम के व्यक्ति थे जिसमें 20 आदमियों की बल था, उसने मध्वाचार्य को चुनौती दी.
Madhvacharya placed the big toe of his foot firmly on the ground and asked the man to lift it.
मध्वाचार्य ने अपना जो पैर था वो उसके सामने रखा और कहा कि मेरी टांग को उठा के दिखाओ.
And he had the strength of 30 men.
उस व्यक्ति में हालांकि 20 आदमियों जितना बल था.
And straining with all his strength again and again, the mighty, his name was Kadambjari, he was unable to move even the big toe of Madhvacharya.
तो वह मध्वाचार्य का पंजा तक नहीं उठा पाया.
हरि बोल
हरि बोल
हरि बोल
हरि बोल
हरि बोल
हरि बोल.
What if the biography of Chibit Prabhupada Madhvacharya had all 32 bodily symptoms of a great personality of Mahapurush.
त्रिलेखन पंडित की जीवनी ने जो लिखे लिखी है उसके अनुसार मध्वाचार्य में बहुत अधिक बल था.
He had a deep and melodious voice and he was an expert singer. Very nice.
तो उनकी बहुत मध्वाचार्य की बहुत ही सुंदर आवाज थी और वे बहुत अच्छा गायक
थे. And his recitation of the verses of Shiva Bhagavatam was regarded as being especially sweet.
मैं जब उनका जो शिखर था पतन के शोरों का उच्चारण था मैं बहुत ही गर्व हुआ.
He came to Delhi also and he went, Hariwa!
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 Kurukshetra and Benares, God of my God, you know, he went everywhere.
Madhvacharya Delhi, Kurukshetra, all the things in Harbara.
If you left earlier, you would never know that he came to Delhi, see?
तो अगर मैं अपना प्रश्न पहले ही बंद कर देता तो आपको पता भी नहीं चलता कि मध्वाचार्य दिल्ली भी आए
थे. And then after that, the limited travels and stuff to South India.
और इसके बाद दक्षिण भारत लौट गए.
So he was the most important Vedanta Acharya to travel India after Shankara.
तो वे बहुत ही प्रमुख आचार्य थे जिन्होंने शंकराचार्य के बाद इतना बड़ा
And everywhere went there, he was accepted as Acharya.
And he also had
disciples from many foreign countries.
And his
still his disciples speak in 8 different languages.
आज भी हिंदी भाषा बोलते हैं,
including Bengali, Hindi, Telugu, Gujarati.
इसमें जैसे हिंदी, बंगाली, तेलुगु इत्यादि.
Anyways, we should stop there.
यही विराम देंगे.
Oh, there's one story, but this is one juicy story here.
एक छोटी सी तो लॉन्च टाइम बता रहा था.
The still the Shankaracharya said he had defeated yet still wanted to get him.
तो जो कुछ शंकराचार्य के अनुयायी थे वे मध्वाचार्य को परास्त करना चाहते थे.
He they had a scholar named Pundrikpuri. He was famed for being undefeatable.
तो उन्हें एक विद्वान पुंडरीकपुरी था जिसको कोई भी परास्त नहीं कर सकता था.
But he was defeated completely by Madhava.
लेकिन वह मध्वाचार्य के द्वारा पूरी तरह परास्त हुआ.
So wanting a revenge, this man arranged for one of his sannyasis named Padmatirtha to steal a priceless collection of ancient Sanskrit scriptures from the library of Madhvacharya.
प्रश्न परिषद की भावना से अपने शिष्य सन्यासी शिष्य को भेजा ताकि वह मध्वाचार्य के जो टीकाएं हैं उसको चुरा ले. उस शहर में राजा था तो वह ऐसा नहीं कर पाए.
So to become one of this big impersonalist, he failed to defeat Madhava, but he refused to surrender. And the debate continued the next day.
जो त्रिविक्रम पंडित थे वे मध्वाचार्य के सिद्धांत को स्वीकार नहीं कर रहे थे और वे उनसे शास्त्रार्थ करना चाह रहे थे.
The debate went on for 15 days.
तो उन्होंने 15 दिन उनके साथ शास्त्रार्थ किया.
My brother was completely worn out, but his doubts were also destroyed, and he recognized Sri Madhvacharya as his guru.
जो तीर्थंकर पंडित मायावती थे वे पंडिता परास्त हुए और फिर उन्होंने मध्वाचार्य को अपने गुरु के रूप में स्वीकार किया.
So he surrendered to Madhvacharya and was accepted by him as his disciple.
उन्होंने मध्वाचार्य की शरण ग्रहण की और मध्वाचार्य ने उन्हें अपने शिष्य के रूप में स्वीकार किया.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and Madhvacharya ordered him to write commentary in Vedanta, since he was now had become a pure devotee.
Madhvacharya ne unko aadesh diya ki aap Vedanta ki kar likhiye.
So his conversion of this great scholar was a turning point in Madhvacharya's preaching mission.
तो ये जो इस विद्वान का जो कन्वर्जन था वो बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण.
Chubrika Pandit's own brother and 7 other important scholars took sannyas from Madhava and became the first directors of the 8 Madhavite monasteries in Udupi.
So Trivikram Pandit and the 7 sannyasi bhai the, un sabhi ne Madhvacharya se diksha grahan ki.
Alright, so anyways, we will stop there.
यही पर विराम देंगे.
There's more, but we'll stop there. जय गुरु श्री महाराज की जय. महापुरुष श्री मार्वचार्य की जय. मार्वचार्य महा महोत्सव की जय. जय गुरु श्री महाराज की जय.